We are in Shar Shlishi, and we had done a few introductions to Shar Shlishi, and the foreword, and the this, and now last week we began the Perek Rishon, and now we're up to Perek Sheni. And again, this whole Shar is all about self-awareness and Midos, and he's going to tackle that particular issue right now. So this is a relatively short Perek. Hopefully we can do it meaningfully and in a time-efficient manner. Says Rav Olbi, beginning of Perek Sheni, Mahein Midos. What are Midos? Sounds like an easy question, but you can tell if a book like Rav Olbi, you know, Ali Shor is asking you that question, it's a setup. It's a deceptively easy question, but clearly not. Harambam, on the one hand, Kori Lemidos Deos. Right? The Rambam in the Mishnah Torah has a section called Hilchos Deos. And there is where he includes all sorts of things that you and I would consider Midos, Machshava, and Musar. Now, that's a little bit surprising if you think about it. After all, Dea hi b'china sichlit. Dea, that type of phrase, we think of that as something of being intellectual. Under regilim liros b'mido, come on in, Rabbi Simon, please. Rabbi Simon. Midosenu kochos hakvuim b'nafshenu. Kmo shar kochos. Hariya, hashmiya, hargashas re'ev, sova, v'od. Says, on the one hand, the Rambam surprises us. Because by the fact that he calls the section that discusses a midos, hilchos deos, that is implying that this is something that is something that can be apprehended, that can be understood, that can potentially be intellectualized. He says, typically, that's not how we think of midos, right? I'm an angry person, I'm a jealous person, or let's think of some good midos. I'm a generous person, I'm a kind person, I'm a compassionate person, I'm a loving person, I'm a giving person. We think of those as somehow, you know, parallel to more, just more almost biological instincts or attributes. Just like a person can say, I am hungry, you can say, I am angry. Right? We see those as parallel declarations. But that doesn't shtim, that doesn't work with the Rambam calling it Hilchos Deos. Now, in order just to clarify the quote-unquote the tension that we're trying to display, he sharpens the point. He says, what's the main difference? Im amidos hein kochot, I efshar lakor, ol hachlifosan, achim hein muskalot, yesh yesh l'shanota. Now this word muskalot, he's going to use like many, many times in this short chapter. I can't say I know exactly how to translate it here. It seems like it's some combination of instinct. I used two words for it when I was trying to figure out reading through the parak the first time. What was the other word I thought of?
Perception,
instinct, maybe something like that. Anyway, the bottom line is if I can somehow step away from myself and see I am being angry or this is or whatever, so then in theory I can also change that. If it's something like I'm hungry, I am hungry, you know, unless I eat, there's nothing to do about the hunger. So there's a big, big difference. Which one is it? So, like a quasi-brisker, he says, second paragraph, Kvianira hamidos hein gam deos v'gam kochot. There are elements of our midos which are, in a certain sense, parallel to physical needs and status, you know, states that we're in. We are angry, we are hungry, we are tired, we are jealous. Those could be parallel on some level. But there's also, that's the koach, but there's also an element or some dimension of midos which actually is something that can be more conceptualized, more understood, more perceived, and then potentially could be molded. And now he's going to explain. Kisha anu mitbonanim b'midoseinu, when we think about, in a deep way, our own personal midos, muskalot rishonim. And here's where it seems like he's using the term in the sense of our first instinct. When we say we have a midah, right? Everyone could think on their own. Again, and there are good ones too. There's the generosity is also a midah. And certain people who are, quote, generous people react to hearing about a need in a community. People who are rachmanim, you react about hearing about a tzara in the neighborhood. People react in different ways. That initial reaction or instinct, that's really what we mean when we say a midah, right? The midah isn't what you did, that's the action. So what does it mean to say I have a certain midah, good or bad? It's when you hear about something or you're confronted with something, what's the first instinct that you have towards it? That's your midah, for good or for bad. So he gives examples of some bad midahs. Muskel rishon lakasan, the first instinct of an angry person. Kelov ditrageiz, b'chema shofacha, kasher ovrim al ritzono am alivim oso. A person was quick to temper, was an angry person. So anytime somebody really bothers him, really slanders him, really hurts him, his first instinct is to scream, to yell, to get upset about it. Muskel rishon hu l'bal gaiva, a person who's an arrogant person. So their first instinct is always, Ki magia lo kavod v'tihila. I deserve. So when he's getting it, he's feeling he's getting what he deserves. If he doesn't get it, he becomes angry. Because his first instinct is magia li. The first instinct of a lazy person, that a person should always somehow avoid or make excuses why they don't have to do something that's good. They could always come up with a reason, right? So really, when we talk about a midah, if we want to conceptualize it, on some level, really we're talking about is what's a person's first instinct. You want to know what your midahs are? So whatever time you get triggered, for good or for bad, that first instinct, that's a good sign. That's like when they send that dye into you. What kind of procedures are that when they the dye and then it lights up to find things? Medical procedure, you know, when they put the little dye inside of you.
Do you think we are by the word inclination?
Oh, that's also a good word. I didn't think about that. Excellent. Good. Excellent. Oh, thank you. You know what I'm talking?
No, I told you about it. It's a dye.
No, but isn't there a word that they use in medical? Like that's a certain type of not an EKG. I'm saying there's no word, huh?
Contrast.
Okay.
That means when they do the procedure.
What's the procedure called where they put the little dye?
Arterial or whatever.
Okay. Someone knows?
MRI,
sometimes they do that? Okay. Maybe I shouldn't have used the medical analogy. I'm sorry. Anyway, the point is, if you wanted to know, like if you were going to do some kind of test, what's going to set off the machine, what's the midah? The way the test is, what's your first instinct to things? It's a good clue for all of us to have now, right? Next time you have a first instinct to something, again, for good or for bad. The next time you know, there are certain people, right? This week, some of you saw, some of you even gave. Right? I sent out a thing on the community WhatsApp that Nebuch, there's a family in the neighborhood who cannot pay tuition for, they cannot get the kids into school because they're already so behind on tuition from the other kids that they can't get the schools to take even new kids. I sent out a thing that I'm trying to help raise money for this family. Right? So there are certain people who certain people's reaction might be, oh, they're probably responsible. Oh, there must be some story, another scam. Right? That could be one person's response. I think it's a mute, but it could be. Then most people are ready on to the next WhatsApp group or the next social media thing. They already forgot about it. And then there's other people whose first instinct is right away to give. Right? So, I'm not saying, the first person I said is a bad person. or has a bad meat, I should say. The middle people are just normal. But a person who is a merachim, a person who's a baal chesed, not just that they do chesed, it's their midah. So what Rav Volbi is saying is, those are the people who their first instinct when they hear about it. Now, maybe they can't give, maybe they didn't give, but what's the first, I'm not talking about the action, just what does it bring out in you? What's the first instinct? A person who has a midah of rachmanas, a person who has a midah of chesed, the first instinct, it was one thing. Right? And there's again, someone cuts you off. What's your first instinct? If the first instinct is to yell, and, oh my gosh, that guy's probably a loser who's on his way to do nothing, but I have to go to an important meeting, right? So there's the first instinct of a balgaiva, there's the first instinct of a kaasan, and then there's other first instincts. What your first instinct is, that's a tell. If I could use maybe a gambling term, right? That's a tell. Right? Instead of flickering the eye or twitching, that's a tell for what your meat is, okay? Now that we have that, let's go deeper. Hamuskal shalmida na'azor alidei tzur barur hashamur b'leiv ha'adam. Kate said a lovely fold. This has been a big Rav Volbi thing. We've seen this a few times. He's very sensitive to and very focused on the power of imagination. And how when you have a picture of something, that is incredibly powerful. And he says our imaginations are constantly working, whether we realize it or not. And we have all sorts of pictures in our mind of things. And that really pushes us. So part of, he says now, what really fires up our first instincts is subconsciously we associate whatever that first instinct is with a certain image in our mind. L'ka'asan yesh tziurei kas, l'balgaiva tziurei kavod, l'atzel tziurei sakanut hakruchot b'chol ma'aseh tov. Right? That image in our mind, if you're an angry person, is this some kind of, yeah, some image that fires you up for your anger or for your gaiva. And the lazy person is already imagining all the bad things that could happen if they actually get off the couch, so to speak. Right? They're just a mat. Hatsirim eila heinam l'rov dimyoni. He says, most of the time, these pictures in our mind are totally imaginary. They're not real. Moskorishan mut'eh, if it's tziur dimyoni. Actually, that first instinct that we have is often wrong. It's often, just because it's our instinct, right? People always say, it's just who I am, or it's just my instinct. Okay, that's human. That's natural. Sometimes when people say that, they're just being parv and descriptive. Sometimes they're being prescriptive as if, yeah, and therefore that's a teretz for everything. No, just because it's your first instinct, just because it's, quote, human nature, doesn't mean it's a good part of human nature. Doesn't mean it's a good part of your instincts. So he says most first instincts that people have are actually misleading. They're inaccurate. And they're actually wrong. When we think about the really bad midos that we have, those first instincts are almost always wrong and they're leading us astray. After all, next paragraph, when we think about it more deeply, and we put, so to speak, in the, not the MRI machine, but we take our first instincts and our inclinations, I like that word, Rabbi Klammer, and we put those under what he calls tachas shevet habikoret. If we actually really analyze them, we'll actually see in a rational way, in a careful, thought-out way, the mistakes and the misleading directions that our first instincts would have taken us. Haseichel v'halacha b'yachad machriyim mahu habuskal hamiti shakol mida v'mida. Very, very powerful thing. He says there's two different potential sources of good. This has philosophical implications too, but that's not our topic. Right? I'm not saying they're equal, but he is giving parallel attention to actually, you know, if inclination and instinct is on one side, then there's actually thinking about things, using our brains, using the God-given intellectual ability that we have, and that's a basis, that is a source of finding truth. And of course, the even higher power, maybe to some extent you could say a finding truth, is halacha. And those two, he says, biyachad, that those are the, so to speak, examining, you know, the doctor comes with his, you know, stethoscope and is this, right? You need to, what are you going to use to examine the patient? The things that we need to use to instead of just accepting our first instincts, saying, no, that's who I am. Right? How many times have people actually audibly said that? And times a million, how many times have they thought it? As a terrace for all sorts of bad things, I'm not saying every bad thing is, you know, you're not a mass murderer every time a person has a bad instinct, right? That's rare. But along the range, before you get to mass murderer, a lot of bad instincts that we have. And so many of us over our lifetime, just, that's who I am. I would have preferred to be somebody different. My heart's in the right place. But that's who I am. Says so if you want to really analyze whether that's who you are is a good thing or a bad thing, so it's, you know, if your instincts are taking you against halacha, that would be a sure sign you were off. And second of all, if you think about it more, and you really actually do the analysis, often you'll realize that your first instincts were wrong. For example, this is my favorite example, is the first one he gives. Ki akas machti es matarato. Ki eno ma'orer ha'aracha yitera. Ela lag va'af sina klape akas. And I have a whole hour shiur, which I've given, I don't know, maybe in the shul, I've certainly given it to various scholars and in places that I've been in, all about anger. And so you don't have to come to the scholar residence. You get it for free, guys. Is the upshot, the headline of the shir is not only can you find many Mamari Chazal speak about the evil of anger, that's more obvious. The chiddush is the foolishness of anger. There's a stipler in Chumash. I have all sorts of makoros that talk about the foolishness. How you're a kseel if you get angry. Why are you a kseel? I can understand why there's a certain immorality of anger and you abuse people verbally when you get angry. God forbid, even worse than verbally sometimes. What's foolish about it? And this is it's an insight that the stipler actually has. The next time I give the shir, now I'll have a revolvi to add to the shir. I didn't know this until yesterday. I read this piece for the first time yesterday. Which is, the foolishness, which is if you think about it, I whenever I give the shir, I always ask, who can raise your hand if you can think of the last time that there was a certain thing, you got triggered, you got angry, and your anger helped. And your anger made the situation better. I don't know if I can think of one time in my whole life. I can think of many times made it worse. It was at DEF CON 4, and then I lost my temper, and what do you know? All of a sudden, everyone did not see it my way just because I yelled. I thought if I raised my temper, all of a sudden, my wife will understand, my kids will understand. Funny me, look at that, it didn't work out that way.
In Israel, sometimes they don't want to help you, and then you start yelling at them, and then they start helping you. That's my experience.
Okay. So, anyway, you'll have to come to the hour shir simcha. For you, you're gonna have to pay simcha. Simcha's going to have to pay for the small residence. Okay, well, I'll tell you where I'm going for Pesach and shir simcha. You'll come too, and then you'll get to hear the shir. It's connected. I'm not joking, because it's connected. The stipler I was referring to is about Makas Tzvardeya. Anyway. But okay, so sometimes I give a shir on Pesach. Anyway, so that Ravolbi makes the same point, and Ravolbi says that you know it has to be true. He says, right, anger almost always does the opposite. Gaiva enu emes. Kilo borado el maaseh leva gaiva smagia rekva. If you think about it more, I have a gaiva that I'm smart. I have a gaiva that I'm handsome. Really, what did you do to make yourself smart? What did you do to make yourself handsome? Right? It's from Hashem. It doesn't even make any sense. Or the laziness, right? It's interesting here. He touches up, why are people lazy? Because people have sakanot hadomot. People are, you know, kilu. They all they're thinking of is the risks or the downsides. It doesn't mean like danger to life. It means you think of the down. You know, I could get off the couch. Something good could happen. But what are you? But mostly those downsides are also imagined. So the more a person could actually use that kind of clay midah, that measure of something a little bit, think about it more carefully, more rationally, you realize almost all your first instincts are actually wrong. Kasher haseichel matmid bebir amidos hu bochen gam sat tsiurim hamunachim bilabeinu umuchanim litarer karega bavo maaseh liyadeinu. Mokam hatsiurim hamuteim yivar haseichel as hatsiurim hanechonim. And again, he turns back to this point that so much of what drives us to do or not to do things is a certain image, a mental image. So the first instinct comes with one mental image, but if we will apply some analysis to our first instinct, okay, that's our first instinct, now let me think about it, does that actually make sense? Not only will we, an intellectual, you know, pros and cons, you know, check and minus, we'll make the famous list on the left and on the right, the good and the bad, but we'll also imagine, right? So just take the example of the lazy person, right? At some point when you're figuring out what you should or shouldn't do, at some point, if it's actually going to be effective, all of a sudden the image of how thrilling and how wonderful actually doing the thing would be, will pop, or what's going to get you off the couch? Not just because you make a list and you actually see that, you know, the upsides of getting off the couch are better than not getting off the couch. It's when, even subconsciously, you imagine and you have that image in your mind of how wonderful and how good it's going to feel when you actually did X or Y. Right, when you know, the alarm goes and you want to hit snooze or turn over, or you can get up and go to Minion. So in the moment, right, the first instinct is to sleep. If you're a normal person, the first instinct is to sleep. So what's the image in your mind? How yummy the bed is. And the blanket and the pillow, you know, very few things in life are yummier than that. But then you start thinking about it, you know, is it really right? Is it wrong? Do I want to have a lazy? Do I want to do nothing all day? That helps. But what really helps is when you remember that other time you slept till 10 or whenever, you felt bad about yourself, wasn't unproductive, the whole day it was just, eh. And when you get up and you actually have a good start to your day, you feel different. And you, instead of feeling guilt your whole day, having to explain to your wife why you overslept, and et cetera, et cetera, you actually feel good about yourself. And you know, your wife's going to respect you when you walk home, having come from Minyan, and you just go to Minyan, you went to a shir, right? You have something to say at the Shabbos table, something to talk about, right? So that image, that's what gets you to do the right thing. And he's saying this is true about all the midos. First, you think about it more carefully. That already gets you out of being locked into your first instinct. But then that image in your mind, in your imagination, can be used for good. End of that paragraph. Barov ha-machshava v'hasmata sahergal b'tzirim ha-nechonim yavo ayom v'neshamish ha-muskolos ha-mitim sha-sechel hemtzi, etc., etc. The more and more you think about it, the more you'll have these more positive images in your mind, and the more and more that will get you to make something that actually makes sense. And therefore, summing up the whole first part of the piece, last line of the page, or on my version, it's the last line of the page. Hare hamidos deos hein. Hashayach likvo b'halochot b'lchot deot keitz al adam linaik midos of. Therefore, to answer our question, what are midos? Are they just inclinations, or are they something that can actually be more intellectually apprehended? The answer is, they are both. In a sense that midos are our first instinct, even subconscious, instantaneous, yes, they're a koach. But they're more than that. Because since we can actually think about them more, they can be understood and, in the best sense of the word, manipulated or diverted or changed. And that's what the Rambam meant when he called midos deos. He wasn't denying that psychological / physical component of the first instinct inclination of a person, but he was saying that since you can actually understand, by thinking about them more carefully, you can actually adapt them. Now in the next paragraph, he just points out that al yisod zeh mushtet kol avodoteinu b'midot. Again, and you can understand why now, I think, the way we've explained it. This one insight, all of the parsha that we talk about in Avodas Hashem called Avodas Hamidos, right? There is working on my davening, there's my learning, there's my kedusha, a lot of parts of our life that we have to try to hopefully be better in. Right, but there's one thing, hopefully, that we're all working on, called Avodas Hamidos. Trying to be, quote-unquote, better people. Nicer, more kind, right? We're trying to increase the number of good midos we have and the amount of times we employ those and decrease the number of bad midos that we all have. So, right, that's the parsha called Avodas Hamidos. So it says that's, you know, a big part of one's life. I think Yisrael Salantin who actually famously said, right, he said it's either easier to go around the whole world or easier to learn all of Shas. Easier to learn all of Shas than it is to fix one midah. Right? So, right? And it's certainly easier nowadays. right? Al daf, you know, 8 minute daf, MDY daf, right? Everything daf, right? You don't even have to get up. You can loosen the 2.0 speed. There's a lot of things you can do, right? But to fix a midah. So says Rav, if you want to know the secret, he's not saying it's easy. But the secret of either managing the health problem, let alone curing it, the secret is this point, is realizing that just because it's quote-unquote who I am, just because as long as I can remember, that's my first instinct, doesn't mean that that's who you are and you have to always be. There's also a certain muskal, there's a certain intellectual ability to the deos part of it, to think about it, and the more you think about it and realize that it actually doesn't make sense, the more over time, if you act on that second thought, not just the first inclination, the more over time, slowly, all of a sudden your first instinct is going to change as well. That's a lifetime's of work, but it can happen. Now, the last point he makes, and with this we'll conclude, which is somewhat depressing, but I don't think it's depressing as much as it's just as insightful, and it's just important to be aware of, as he says in the next sentence, nevertheless, despite everything we've just said, la'omek sharshi hamidos, dying lehiganu. But to get to the root of a particular midah, that we actually still haven't gotten to. Why? Because we can't. Shoresh hamida hara nishar ba'omek hanefesh ula'akro legamre niftzar me'itanu. And he goes on to say that bria amukahein kol midos. We're born, right? There is a nature and a nurture thing here. We are born with certain midos. We are born with certain inclinations, which I think is a good word in this context. If we wouldn't be, it's not something that we acquired. The things that we do and the repetitive behavior and patterns that we fall into strengthen, they deepen our inclinations, our instincts. But people are born with midos, says Rav Volbi, and you cannot change that. However, and to think that you could would be a fool's errand. But rather, what a person can do is totally get to the bottom of the midah, and then co-opt it. Right? The river is running. There's no dam that's going to stop the river. What you can do is be machvinit. There's a famous medrash which we don't really have the original of, but I think it's the Tosfos Yom Tov who quotes it. Right? Somebody in Mishnayos about Moshe Rabbeinu. How there was one of these people who had that. Right. But someone, that chokhmah where if they look at your face, they can tell things about you. And he looked at Moshe and he thought he's a kasan, an angry person. And everyone got insulted for the cover of Moshe. How could you say it? Moshe said, no, Taki, he's right. I worked on myself. They say about Rav Chaim was known as, on Rav Chaim's tombstone, right? It says Rav Chesed. But he says, I wasn't born that way. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean that they uprooted what their midah was. It means that whatever koach they had in a certain midah, again, by doing whether it's exactly the recipe of Rav Volbi or some other act of spiritual self-perfection and improvement, they were able to, again, muska, they were able to understand themselves in a way that they could then adapt it, move it, put it to a good use. And just we'll finish with it. We'll just read the last two lines and we'll finish here. Gam tikkun amidos, eino magia l'shoresh amidos. You could be metaken the midah. It's not the same thing as getting to the root. El deos v'hatzirim ha'olim el toch tchum hakaratenu anu amdim al saf ha'tchum hazeh. Kach she'ameitza shel hetbarnut nuchal l'mashesh otam. We can be metaken. Again, it's not hopeless in the sense of, oh no, if I'm angry, again, which people say, that's who I am. I've always had a temper. My mom told me that in kindergarten I got in trouble because I got angry at other kids. And then second grade, I remember getting thrown out of a class. And that's why I'm a horrible husband and yell at my kids and wife. That's who I am. Right? So that's gobbledygook. Yes, you have an instinct. And you were even born with a nisayon. But through a process like this, or maybe other people have other processes, they can be tukan. You can fix, you can change, you can help them. But you can't uproot it. You are who you are, and you have this. And now the question is, what will you do with it? It's not fatalist in the sense of, no, you can significantly change the way you understand it, and therefore what you do to manipulate it for good. That you're not a prisoner to. You can absolutely do that. You have that freedom. But the reason it's important, why I say this is not depressing, is because if you think you could get rid of it, then you'll end up doing more damage. That's not the answer, right? God forbid, if someone has a tumor, right? The first thing you want to hear is, from the doctors, you can get rid of it, right? Okay, but if the doctor says you could cut it out, and therefore I'm going to do this huge surgery, and it turns out you couldn't, right, the surgery is liable to do much more harm than good. So it would be nice if there was this world in which we could cut out and totally excise our bad midos. Says Rav Volbi, at the shorish level, you can't, because that's how you were born. That's your nature. But it's good to know that, because that way you don't spend your lifetime trying to cut it out, and who knows, ignoring other good things, and God forbid, doing actual damage in the process. Rather, you need to know that there's other methods, there's other treatments that can be used where the thing still stays, but instead of being the source of bad, it's either minimally neutralized, or even better, halavai, it can become like in those stories I told you about Moshe Rabbeinu, they say, or Reb Chaim, or Dafka, the very thing is now the source of something good. So it's a little bit depressing to know you can't totally excise it, but I think if that's true, it's much better that we know that, so we know what we should be doing, and he's giving one recipe, as opposed to the fool's errand of trying to run after something that wouldn't work anyway. A good Shabbos, everybody.